So I know that for all of us, there are things that we want to experience in our lives. We want to experience good health, and we want to love and to be loved. We want to experience abundance and an abundance of all those things that we deem to be good. We want to be able to express ourselves in the world and who we are. And we want to be able to live a very deeply fulfilling and satisfying life. And then on top of those things, there are also things that individually that are unique to us, there are things that we would like to experience also. Perhaps it's something like you would like to learn how to cook like a gourmet chef. Or perhaps you would like to travel. Or maybe you want to have an intimate relationship. Or learn how to use the computer or to master some particular program on the computer. Or maybe it's just that you really want more free time, time to spend with the people that you love and the people that are important to you and to spend time with your friends. Or maybe you want more clients at your work. You know, I think that all of us in this room could add things to that list of the things that we want to experience and to have in our lives. And at this moment in time, we're probably not experiencing all of those things that we'd like to have or be or do. Is that true? And so why is that? Why is it that we're not already experiencing those things? You know, I think there are three big reasons why we're not experiencing all the things that our heart desires to experience. And one of the reasons that we aren't experiencing the desires of our heart in form is because we think that things happen by chance or by luck. Say that you want to have that perfect relationship, and one of your really good friends has a great husband. So she met him when she was flying on an airplane, and he just happened to be sitting next to her. So it looks like to you it was just by chance. She just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And so you interpret that's kind of how things work in the world. Or maybe you have a friend who has this really great job and you're looking for a job and haven't landed that perfect job yet. That friend of yours went on the interview and just so happened the person that was interviewing her grew up in the same town as she did and went to the same college. And so they just really hit it off and you think that's a part of why she got that job. The second reason we aren't necessarily experiencing our heartfelt desires in real life, in real time, is because we think the outside world is where the power is, that the outside world has power over us. You haven't yet gotten that job because the economy is bad. You haven't yet gotten that job because unemployment is so low and there just aren't enough good jobs. Or maybe it's more like you're not experiencing great health and you tell yourself that's because you're old. And now that you're old, things just don't work as well as they used to. So you've just kind of given up and you've given in because you think the outside world is the thing that has the power over you. And the last one, the third one is we don't experience those desires of our heart because it's kind of like the first one. We think that life happens to us rather than through us. One of the core concepts of the teachings of the science of mind says, in the infinite nature of God, all conceivable good is eternally available, ready to flow into human experience. Through some cosmic process, this flow of good is activated and or increased by human belief, faith, and acceptance. So it takes belief, faith, and acceptance in order to bring that good into our life because life does indeed happen through us, not to us. And the truth is, you already contain the power and you already contain the authority to live a life of your heartfelt desires. You already have what it takes inside of you to bring those heartfelt and those soul-felt desires into form in your life. You already have the power and the potential within you to be who it is that you want to be in this world. But it takes faith and it takes conviction, and it takes tenacity. And so I have a story to share with you, and it's about a little boy named Ronald McNair. The year was 1959, and the police were called to a segregated library where 9-year-old Ronald McNair refused to leave. He later got a PhD in physics from MIT and died in 1986, one of the astronauts aboard the Space Shuttle Challenger. The library that refused to lend him books is now named after him. And the story goes like this. Ronald McNair, at 9, he found some books and he politely positioned himself in line to check out, where the old librarian said, "This library is not for colored people." He said, "I would like to check out these books." She said, "Young man, if you don't leave the library right now, I'm going to call the police." He just propped himself up on the counter and sat there and said, "I'll wait." The librarian sat behind the counter until the police and his mother arrived, and the officer said, "Why don't you just give him the books?" Which the lady behind the counter reluctantly did. He said, "Thank you, ma'am," as he got his books and left. Ronald went on to receive a Bachelor of Science degree in Engineering Physics, magna cum laude, from the North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University in Greensboro, North Carolina, in 1971. In 1976, he received a PhD degree in physics from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, becoming nationally recognized for his work in the field of laser physics. After graduation from MIT, receiving 4 honorary doctorates, a score of fellowships and commendations, while achieving a 6th-degree black belt in Taekwondo, he became a staff physicist at the Hughes Research Lab in Malibu, California. In 1978, McNair was selected as one of 35 applicants from a pool of 10,000 for the NASA astronaut program. He flew on STS-41B aboard Challenger from February 3rd to February 11th, 1984, as a mission specialist, becoming the 2nd African-American and the 1st person of the Baha'i faith to fly in space. He died during the launch of the Space Shuttle Challenger on mission STS-51L, in which he was serving as one of 3 mission specialists in a crew of 7. Baha'i. He had faith and conviction and tenacity. He had faith in himself. Being of the Baha'i faith, he had faith that he was here to make a difference in the world and to serve. He had conviction that he could do what he longed to do at the very depths of his being. And he had the tenacity to never give up, but instead to continue to take those steps, step after step after step, until he accomplished what it was that he set his heart out to accomplish. Saint Catherine of Siena, who was a 14th century nun and mystic, said, "Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire." God meant you to be magnificent. God meant you to be your grandest self. God meant you to express yourself in your fullness and in your beauty and in your magnificence unhindered. God made you to be unhindered. God made you to live your best life and to live a magnificent and joyful and fulfilling and satisfying life. God meant you to live a life that is filled with the things that make life rich for you. And so one of those things that it takes is faith. Ernest Holmes talks about faith. He says, "Faith must be used. Faith in a power greater than we are, based on the firm conviction that we live in a divine presence that wishes only good for us. We live in this divine presence that wishes only good and only fulfillment for each and every single one of us. And the more fully that we live our lives, the more fully that God is expressed. The more fully we live our lives, the more the infinite is expressed in this world. And if you ask me, what is it that God desires? My answer would be God desires to express. And God desires to express in its fullness. The greater and the bigger you live, the more God gets to express in its fullness by means of you. And so when we are experiencing dis-ease in our lives, whether it's dis-ease in your body or dis-ease in the world of your affairs, what that means is God, that infinite presence, that infinite potential, the good that it is being less than fully expressed. It is being less than fully expressed. Wholeness is being less than fully expressed. Harmony is being less than fully expressed. The order of God is being less than fully expressed. Because that peace and love and harmony and order and balance are all the presence of the Infinite One unfolding itself into your life and into you. And so when we're experiencing lack in our lives, it is less than a full expression of the good that God is, or of the creativity that God is, or of the abundant good that God is. It is less than a full expression. And it's not because God is withholding. God doesn't withhold. God just is. It's not that God is withholding, but instead that we are somehow blocking that full expression in our lives. And we are blocking it through a belief or a set of beliefs, through an attitude or some attitudes, through where we are putting our focus in our life. Ernest Holmes says, "In the sight of the divine presence within, we are perfect. We must try to see ourselves as God sees us, free and filled with vitality and sufficiency for every occasion." Can you see yourself as God sees you? Sufficient, having everything that you need already because you're an emanation of all that it is. There's nothing else to be. There's not God and something else. When God created this world, God created the world out of what? There was nothing. God created the world out of itself by becoming everything that is. You are that becoming, that presence flowing into you and through you all of the time. And so God does not see us as limited. Yet sometimes we see ourselves as limited. And when we're seeing ourselves as limited, it's that incomplete perception. When we're seeing ourselves as limited, it's an optical illusion. Kind of like when you see a mirage on the road, you're driving in the hot summer and you can see water on the road up ahead. It certainly looks real. It certainly looks like we are separate and apart and distinct and not connected with that one through the eyes of our ego, but it's an optical illusion. It appears to our human, limited, egoic eyes that we are separate and apart from the whole, but that isn't the truth. It's kind of like an iceberg. It looks like the iceberg's just floating on the top of the water, but when you look beneath, there is so much more than this, so much more down below that we aren't seeing. That's the truth, that we are one with that presence, that we are it unfolding itself. But it takes spiritual practice to see that and to know that and to remember that and to live from that consciousness. It takes regular spiritual practice, not just every once in a while when things are super stressful, but it takes regular spiritual practice so you can live out of that paradigm and looking at your life through that lens. It takes looking through spiritual eyes the eyes within you that know there is only one presence and one power and one life and one energy and one beingness, and that everything is it in form. It takes recognizing that we and everyone in this world are emanations of that one, connected to that Godhead, connected to that infinite source. We aren't the whole of the infinite, but we are always connected to the whole of the infinite. We are made of the same stuff. That means then that we contain the same qualities and the same characteristics as that presence. We already contain wholeness. We already contain peace. We already contain order, the order that expresses in our bodies as perfect health. We don't have to reach outside of ourselves. It's already here. We just have to recognize it. We're called to recognize it and to remember it. Harmony and creativity and absolute intelligence and love and beauty and order, all of those things already exist within us. You are like a ray of the sunshine. Individuation, still constantly sourced by the sun. The ray can't be separate from the sun. You can't be separate from that presence. One boundless creative intelligence that is infinite in its potential and in its beingness is the source and the core of who you are. You are a ray of the sun, and your life is a ray of the sun. So that means to me that we are called then to meditate and to do spiritual study and to affirm the truth that we are one with that presence, to do affirmative prayer or spiritual mind treatment, to remember. Because all of those spiritual practices help us remember, and they help us see that bigger picture of who we are and what our life is. They allow us to see what is obscured from our only human eyes. In the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says, he's talking about treatment, affirmative prayer. The statements which we made in the treatment are for the purpose of delivering to the imagination in a certain form that which was true before we made the statements. The whole problem is not one of creation, but one of direction. And there is no direction unless there is first embodiment. So spiritual practice helps us embody the truth that we forget, because we all forget. It helps us remember and know and live looking through that lens. And so on your green sheet, on your white sheet today, on the back of it, I printed out a spiritual mind treatment that Ernest Holmes wrote that's in the Science of Mind textbook, and I'm going to invite you to read that with me. Ready? The spirit within me, which is God, the living spirit almighty, is perfection. It is wholeness. It is peace. It is divine guidance, perfect peace, complete wholeness, absolute perfection. And right now, this moment, this spirit governs every act of my life. It surrounds me with light, in which there is no darkness, no gloom, no heaviness, and no fear. In this light, I live and move and have my being, and this light dispels all darkness and casts out all fear. The divine wisdom within me guides every act, directs everything in my life towards happiness, toward peace, toward power, and being the spirit of love, it surrounds me with beauty, with friendship, and with joy. And so it is. The purpose of doing affirmative prayer or spiritual mind treatment is to move our minds from our focus on lack, our focus on what isn't working, our belief in separation, to recognizing that there is no separation, that presence is always right where we are, in its fullness, in its allness, all around us and within us. In the words of Ernest Holmes, the innermost God and the outermost God are one God. It's to help us remember so we can bring something new into our lives. Ernest Holmes also says in the Science Mind textbook, we can sit in the shade or we can move into the sunshine. Sitting in the shadow, we may not really believe that there is any sunshine, but the sun would be there all the time. And all the time we are in bondage, the real freedom exists. It is there, but we must awake to it. That's all we're doing, is waking up to the truth, waking up to the light, waking up to the presence of the infinite that only wishes good for us. And so we convince our minds of the truth. Because when we convince our minds of the truth, we change our vibration so that it can match the vibration of what we're wanting to bring into our life. We create a template when we do that, changing our thinking and changing our focus and changing our beliefs. We change the template. Do you remember playing with Play-Doh and it had that little machine that you could press the thing down? It would come out as a star or as a circle or as a triangle. That's the template. We create the template in our thinking, in our consciousness, so the unmanifest good of the universe can flow into it as the template that we are holding in our minds of abundance or of wholeness or of health or of love and the perfect relationship or freedom or time, whatever it is. We create the template in our minds. And so my invitation to you this week is to do spiritual practice. Regularly, every day, to do spiritual study so that you can remember when you forget. Because when you read the words of the mystics, they're in a place of remembering, and you're like, oh, there's something in you that resonates with that and knows it when you read it. It helps move you back into the truth. Convince yourself of the truth and grow your faith. That God only wants for you good and your best life. And never give up. You were meant to succeed. You were meant to live your most deeply satisfying and fulfilling and joy-filled life. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of awakening and this path of remembering and this path of bringing that presence into your own life and into this world. Blessings to all of you.